Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
And I'm going to be talking a bit about the vision and some of the core values at City Gate. It's good to have you here. It's so good to have our friend Tim Cox from up in Middletown, Ohio. And Tim is just becoming a great friend. And he came in and was here during the cleansing conference, and God touched everybody. I'm hearing just tremendous reports out of that conference with that. But we just so value. And Avery, I saw some things opening to your family. I saw another source of income coming to y'all a while ago in the spirit, and I just speak that into you and your family with that. All right, but anyway, the vision of City Gate, and I'm setting this up for the shareholders, but the vision of City Gate is this: enjoying God at all times, as we celebrate who we are by knowing who He is. And I want to talk about this for a little bit, and then I'm going to get into some of our core values. Assuming there's some papers in my briefcase I'm going to need. Enjoying God at all times. When I came here in 2004 and began this work, a few months into it, I began to look up and down Getwell Road and Church Road and everywhere, and there's so many church buildings, or buildings we call churches. And I said, God, why another one? And this is what He said to me. He said, because I don't want you to teach people how to be committed to me. I want you to teach people how to enjoy me. Amen. And that's all that He said. And I began to ponder and meditate upon that. And that December, our first December here, we had an early snow in December. And I left where we lived to go get some salt at Walmart or somewhere. I think I actually went to AutoZone to put on the steps out here so that you'd be able to get in the building safely. And on the way there, I passed a golf course. How many golfers do we have here? Hold your hand up if you're really a golfer. Okay? Frisbee golf don't count. No, it does. But anyway, and I passed this golf course, and guess what? 4 to 6 inches of snow, and there's four guys out there playing golf. And I thought, those idiots. You know, I mean, I'm not a golfer. Okay, give me some room. And I thought, how in the world can you even see that white ball? I didn't know they played with a fluorescent ball. I didn't know anything about it. And I thought, how foolish can you be to be on a golf course? Now, if I'd have saw them duck hunting and frozen water up here wet on the inside of their boots, I'd have been all for it. Because that makes sense to me. And God said to me, He said, you're always committed to that that you enjoy. Amen. And so what we want you to understand here at City Gate is, because the part of the vision is enjoying God at all times. Can I tell you what? Some of my most enjoyable times are when I get on that Harley. I'm just telling you, I love it. In fact, let me just tell you, Susan and Dawn and I are going to Mountain Home on our Harleys this week. And I'm not going to be ashamed of this a bit. After the conference up there, after the Trail of Hope next Friday night, we're riding for about four more days across northwest Arkansas and see the leaves. Amen? And we're going to be like vagabonds. I'm with it. Wherever we end up at night, that's where we're going to find a room. Amen? We got some plans to see some things, but we're going to, well, my wife and daughter are looking at each other. My plan is to end up where we do, all right? They'll probably win, all right? But anyway, so enjoying God. You know, you can enjoy, I enjoy God sitting out on my patio. I enjoy God. I mean, I had Susan and I had an extreme privilege yesterday. We were in some meetings, but then last night we got to enjoy a group of people, but we got to enjoy the presence of Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's father. And oh my God, I'm going to just tell you, I'll never be the same. I can't hardly talk about it without weeping. We were so touched by this man's consecration to the Lord. Now that's not an endorsement, okay? I'm just telling you, we were touched. We're seeking the Lord. We're wanting to understand. But what I'm trying to tell you can enjoy God at all times. But it says, as we celebrate who we are. Can I share with you? How many of you would like to draw that card, return to go, collect $200? Isn't that what it said in the Monopoly game? Any Monopoly players? We kept a perpetual Monopoly going when our kids were little. We never shut it down, just kept it going. I have to tell you, my daughter Dawn over here, she was always the winner. I was with it. She won. But it said there's one of the cards that you draw, and it says, return to go, collect $200. I want to give you a fast-forward moment that will help you in moving forward as we celebrate who we are. Get comfortable in your own skin. Quit trying to be somebody else. I love to tell this story. We had a friend we met years ago with Christ for the Nation. He was from Japan. And the only Christian TV he got where he lived was Jimmy Swaggart in those days. This goes way back to the 80s. And he said he would watch Brother Jimmy. How many of you ever saw Jimmy Swaggart preach? Okay? And I believe Jimmy was being Jimmy, but he had it down to an art. He could go right against the edge of the stage. I'm not even going to try to do it. And he would get down and hold his Bible out like that. I mean, I've never seen another preacher do it. And David Yap told us that what he would do would watch Jimmy Swagger. And then when the show went off, he would get in his room and practice doing that. And he said, one day a voice spoke. And it said to him, David, I don't need another Jimmy Swagger. I have one. I need a David Yap. And it broke his heart. It began to change him. And so when we say celebrating who you are, it's getting you to become comfortable to be authentic. You know that God created you the way that you are. Now, how many of you know he's working on us? How many of you have the true gift of or manifestation of discerning of spirits? You really believe you do? Okay, you can look into the spirit realm, all right? Can I just share this? Then I want you to look at me. I want somebody to look at me that believe you have it. You, Sonia, you held up your hand. I want you to look at my forehead and tell me what's on my forehead, okay? It says under construction. Are you hearing me? And every one of us in this room are under construction. So we're not talking about that part that God's remodeling and refashioning and reshaping and everything with that. I'm talking about learning how to be you and be comfortable being you. I came through a Pentecostal denomination and they wanted to make me a cookie cutter. They wanted me to be just like them and look like them and talk like them and dress like them. And, I just love, you need to be who you are. Amen. You know, somebody that came here from Arizona to be in the cleansing conference, want to know, could they wear shorts to the cleansing? I said, if you're comfortable with it, I am. Amen? I mean, she can cast the devil out of you in shorts, long pants, skirt, you know, with that. And so, come on, lighten up a little bit. You act like you're in the church. You're not. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm not in church. I am the church. And so, learn to be comfortable. God is looking for something authentic. Everybody say authentic. God wants you to be authentic. He just wants, listen, you know what they teach in Bible colleges? Don't let the people know your weaknesses. Don't let your congregation know your weaknesses because they won't follow you. Amen? I don't believe that. I believe if Susan and I are transparent with you, when we're struggling and we come to you and say, pray for us, we're struggling, I believe that speaks louder than trying to hide it and act like you can't. We're family here. Your struggles are our struggles. Your victories are our victories. Our struggles are your struggle. Our victories are your victory. He's called us to be one new man. So celebrating who we are, but there's only one way you can do that, and it's the last part of the vision. Listen to this, by knowing who he is. Who is he? You know what I'm learning? I hope I'm not speaking to anybody this way, but I'm learning that a lot of people in the body of Christ have a knowledge about him, but they don't really have an intimate relationship. With him, and let me explain. I'm not talking about not being born again. Let me paint you a picture. Let's say we've been married almost 43 years now. Let's say that 43 years ago, when we got married, she moved into her bedroom, I moved into mine. She had her car, I had my pickup. She had her checking account, I had my checking account. She worked days, I worked nights. We passed like two ships in the night. How many of you know, positionally we're married, but there ain't much to it other than that relationally? And that's the way a lot of people are living today. They have learned behaviors and they have belief system because the scripture says having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Let me tell you, when you are intimate with Him, we celebrate who we are by knowing who He is, then we can move into that power that can change us. How many of you got an area that you're aware God's still working on you? Amen? He's wanting to change you. He's wanting to mold you. He's wanting to shape. He says that we've been created into His image. But it also balances that out with the scripture that said, Jacob have I created, Israel have I formed. How many of you realize He's still forming us? Amen? Positionally, we look like Him, but practically, sometimes we don't. And He's working on us to accomplish that. Would you bring the lights up just a little bit more in the house, or these white lights here would help me just a little bit? I normally preach off an iPad that's lit up behind, and this morning, oh, by the way, my cataract surgery is scheduled for the 16th of November, and I'm thankful. The doctor told me that he's going to be able to correct the lens, and it's not going to just remove the cataract, but it's going to help my shooting eye, and I'm happy for that. And with it, it was only more money, but you know, how many of you know money comes out of the air? I've already established that this morning. And we just know that, you know, I was diagnosed about 14 months ago, and we've been waiting and saving and putting aside money, and we have the money. Now, the bad news was, begin to pray. He said, I've got one forming on the left eye, so I've got about a year on it, and then I'll have to have another surgery. But I want to talk with you now. That's the vision of this house. The shareholders that will come forward today and be commissioned to be shareholders here, we want you to know we value you. The reason we call you shareholders is because we want you to share in the vision. You know, let me tell you where this revelation came to me. Susan and I belonged to the health club over here for about a year, and I never went there one time. I had a membership there. And I thought, you know, I don't want that here. I don't want people that are members but don't show up and don't participate. Let me just tell you what CityGate is not in the vision. We're not a sheep collection pen. And some of y'all are wondering what I'm saying. We're not here to collect a bunch of sheep. We're here to empower the sheep to go be the Lion of Judah. To roar like the Lion of Judah with it. We're here to empower you. There are all kinds. You know, Vicki Billman's ministry is just expanding. You know, she was just up in Missouri with Regina Shank and taught. Jeanette's ministry, others of your ministry is expanding. We're here to push you out, to commission you, to empower you, to train you, to help you move forward. We need you to share in our vision. You know, I believe the scripture says in Proverbs, it said, where there's no vision, the people perish. But what the actual, one of the translations said, and the actual Hebrew says this, it said, where there's no prophetic revelation. Everybody say prophetic revelation. The people are without restraint. And I believe that when God sent me here as an apostle, you know, I had a little laughing moment a while ago when they put up, I don't know if you can put it up real quick on the screen again where it said pastor appreciation. I couldn't help but think, because I'm an apostle, that my gifting makes you really appreciate pastors, okay? That's what hit me a while ago, because, you know, I'm drill sergeant, type attitude about things. You know, I get into command tone. I've tried to soften it and with that a little bit, but it really ain't me. You know, it's like I want to say, Michael, go do this. You know, and then I was like, oh, I shouldn't have spoke to him. You know, I'm in that tone of voice. Well, maybe he needed to spoke to him in that tone of voice. Amen? But anyway, but what I want you to catch today is I came here as an apostle, and the word of the Lord that brought me to South Haven was this. I want you to move there and apostle my vision for the territory. Now, let me share with you what I believe God sent me with. Anybody here work jigsaw puzzles? Hold your hand up if you work jigsaw puzzles. Anybody here never worked a jigsaw puzzle? Never. Wow, I find that. I've worked very few, but I have worked a few. Well, if you let me just help you, Tracy, if you've never worked one, I'm going to give you, in case you have, you get to work one day, you look for the smooth pieces, don't you? And once you hook them together, you have the boundary, and then you start putting the other pieces in play. I believe God sent me to this territory, not the only one. I met with a group of apostles the other night at World Overcomers. Apostle Williams was there and others were there. But I believe he sent me here with the border or the boundary of the vision. Where there is no prophetic revelation, the people without restraint. And so I'm here to establish that boundary or that border, but I'm also here to make sure that this woman of God finds her place to put her parts of the puzzle. You know, to some people that could be a soup kitchen. I don't have any grace to do a soup kitchen. I'm just telling you, I don't. Or it can be working with handicapped people with that. There are different graces. You know, in the body of Christ, we don't understand other people's giftings and anointings and heart's desire. And so we're here to establish a border or a boundary. Remember what God said here in this house a few weeks ago? He said, His boundaries, God's boundaries for your lives are never limitations. You know, the boundaries of God increases His flow. The boundaries of God increases who you are. Increases your effectiveness. And so we must understand that we got to have that. So the shareholders who are a part of this house are very important. We want your vision to come forth. We want to come in agreement. That's the reason we commission. Today, I'm blessed to announce that we're going to be commissioning Sylvia Salisbury to move to Atlanta, Georgia. Now, that part of the statement I'm not real joyful about. Amen? But I'm real joyful that I know this is the will of God. When she came and sat with us, Sylvia, stand up, Sylvia, for just a moment. Come here and stand by me. This is my daughter. Come here, Dawn, and stand by me. Don't you see my other daughter? Okay? Now, this one on my left came from my loins. This one on the right got joints. And so today we're going to commission her. She's got a new job, a new venture, with it. And it's hard, isn't it? But we know it's God. And we're standing with her in agreement. And God's going to bless her. And we believe God's going to complete her while she's in Atlanta. How can she be completed? When a God-fearing, tongue-talking, kingdom-walking man of God comes and actually comes to me first. If he asks you, you better send him to me. Get my permission with that. And so at the end of the service, we're going to be commissioning her because we believe in commissioning. Commissioning is about the agreement of God. You know, she knew this was God before she came and talked to, you know, with it, but she came and got our counsel. We sat, we cried, we sat on our couch, and all three of us cried. Sue and I and her cried because there, you know, it's a part. But how many of you know when your kids grow up, you got to let them go? Amen. If you let them go, you get them back. Amen. Amen. If you try to hold them, you lose them. And so we're in total agreement for what God's doing in Sylvia's life. She's kind of been expecting this. She's going, even the person she's going to be working under, she's worked under him before. And it's really an answered prayer in every way they can. But it's important that you understand, as shareholders, you're important here today. Now, I want to talk with you just a little bit about the core values here. Can I do that? Of this ministry. Amen? The core values. Sue, would you go look on my desk and see if there's a pair of glasses, a pair of readers there? My eyes are just not focusing well enough this morning. The core values. Number one is to see people experience a life-giving relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Everything you do outside of these four walls, we hope is so that you can introduce people to the life of Christ. How many of you know, I almost had them put up on the projector earlier with it. But how many of you know you need to become His story makers? Not just history maker, His story makers. Who here has got a story of what he's done in your life? You know, the easiest way to witness to people is tell them what God did in your life. Not give them doctrine. Not give them all that. Just talk about it. Man, I love to share with people how that when I was 6 years old, I was paralyzed. Doctor said I'd never walk again. But because someone in my life knew God, they prophesied that not only would I be healed, I'd preach the gospel all over the world. There's a few parts of the world I hadn't been to, but I've been to 57 nations. That's a big portion of the world. Who would ever thought a little country boy out of Wheatley, Arkansas, population 400, would go to as many places? In fact, I met a young woman from Romania last night. And in talking with her, I mentioned the fact that I helped establish a Bible college near Transylvania, Romania. And she was from near there. And she said, I've heard of that school. And she was aware of that. And so, you know, who would ever thought how God can reach down and take someone like Tim Cox or Deborah Rusham or Michael McKinney or whoever it might be. You know, this young man, Seth, that's here today. You know, thank you for the honor that you're granting to me today. You know, this is a family that I've known, and they're visiting with us from Little Rock. But this young man is going to be water baptized today. Woo, what an honor. Amen? I mean, I'm just incredibly honored. I mean, it wasn't planned. What, you know, they had planned, they were visiting in the area doing something, and to be here this morning, and God's moved on his heart with it. So it's important. Number two, we want to see the personal growth and maturity of each of you. That's the reason that we have the journey. If you don't know about the journey, you need to see Thomas Lostrito. It's 13 weeks that wreck your life right. I mean, it will mold and shape you. Or maybe you just need some inner healing. What do you call it, Susan?
Freedom sessions.
Freedom sessions. And how many of you attended Jeanette's conference this weekend? With that, you know, a lot of freedom. We're hearing from a lot of people, you know, with it. It's just incredible when you go there. And that's the reason we're all the time looking for better resources so that we can get you healthy, we can get you healed, we can get you empowered, we can get you mobilized, we can get you deployed. How many of you know it's time to get off the benches and get out in the game? And I'm not trying to make light by calling this thing a game, but I'm telling you, it's time to get on the battlefield. It's time to knock a giant down and sever his head with his own sword. Some of you are giant killers and you ain't even realized it yet. I kept thinking this morning that during worship we need to sing that song. I can't never get the words right. I had to go, we eat giants for our bread or something like that. Wow, I like that song. Because that's the attitude I have. I'm telling you, one of these days when I'm about 192, you know, somewhere along in there, you know, and you know, it's getting close to time to retire. I'm going to say, I just believe there might be one more giant, you know, up in Nebraska. I just want to make one more trip up there and see if I can whoop me one more giant. Why? Because I believe that's the nature of Christ. I believe that's the nature of that's in every one of you that's in this room. Listen, you are destined to be a victor. You are not destined to be a victim. Do not let the system make you into a victim. Do not let the system push you down. I'm telling you, God's word said in all things. Now let me give you the Greek to that. All things means all things. Just that simple. Some total completeness. All things, you are more than a conqueror. That's what the book of Romans tells us. You are more than a conqueror. You need to press into that place of being more than a conqueror. And so part of the core values here is to put the resources there so that not just so we can equip the shareholders can begin to equip other people. You know, you as shareholders are going to come in contact with people who will never set foot in the store. I'm sorry that there's a mindset across the Mid-South, this region that feels like, you know, church doesn't work and it's not relevant. It does work. It's God's expression. Let me just tell you something he told me recently. He wasn't correcting me, but I was around for me. He said, don't curse that which I sent to bring blessings to you. And when you go to running down ministers, and you go to running down churches, and you go to running down those things, that's the very expression of God that he put in the earth. And listen, no church is perfect. You know why? Because we're here. Amen? He said he's coming back for a bride without spot and blemish. If when we reach that state of perfection, I believe we're going to be with him. Number three is for shareholders to add value to all people we come in contact with. Can I share something with you? As a shareholder, learn how to listen. That's one of my greatest challenges. I'm a big talker. But I learned how to listen. If you can listen, how many of you know a lot of times people tell you what they want you to know, but if you'll listen to what they're telling you, you'll find out what you need to know. And we need to learn to listen. So, most of the time in counseling, it's the things that people doesn't tell us that speaks more to me than the things that they do tell us. Number four, I love this one, to create teamwork and partnership among all the shareholders. You know, I said recently, if you were here and I repented, I said something about the leaders coming forth and part of the team. Like, can I just share with you? Every man, woman, and child that sets foot in this door becomes part of the team of leadership here. You're leading someone. Can I just issue a challenge to you? Why don't you center in your heart? If you're a shareholder or desire to be a shareholder, to begin to influence someone, to draw them here, to taste it. Can I share something with you? We're not the only great church in this area, by no means, but we are a great church in this area. Amen. And there's life here. Amen. And there are other people that are attending places there's not near the life with that. Victoria, how far did you drive? Where do you live?
I live up in Topeka, Tennessee,
about an hour drive. About an hour drive. Get here as often as you can, don't you? And watch this.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, yeah. When she can't get here, listen. Aren't we attracted to life?
Yes.
I am.
Yes.
And I've wore this illustration out, but if you're at a tragic funeral of a premature death, and I mean everybody's sad, everybody's broken, and somebody walk in with a newborn baby, every person in that funeral home will go to that baby. I have seen it all my life. We're attracted, we're drawn to life. There's life on children. I got to hold little Juniper the other day. And just held her. I mean, I forgot how small babies were. I mean, at 5 pounds and 15 ounces, she was tiny with that. But I mean, just so yawning and with that and just so tender with that. I was drawn to the life that's on that baby. And people are drawn to life. If Milton Green said that, just get full of God and slosh over on people. Amen. That life, if you're so full of God, it's contagious what you're carrying. People are going to want to be around you. They're going to sacrifice to get near you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How about this one? Number five, to raise up and empower great people to become great leaders. I want to do another leadership teaching. In fact, I'm going to teach my book on relational authority, authentic leadership after the first of the year. We're actually having a syllabus wrote to go with it. And I'm going to be doing probably 5 conferences next year on that book around the United States and with it because every one of you are a greater leader than you've yet been developed to be. How many of you, when you've had your first child, you were worried, could you be a good parent? But how many of you learned how to learn as you went? You know, let me just tell you, Susan, our life, the little town we were in, Susan would go to another town to buy, every Saturday when she was off work that I could be home. I would keep Dawn after she was born, our firstborn, and Susan would go grocery shopping. That's just the way it was done in that day. We didn't run the store every day. And so she left me there, and it was on a Saturday, probably was Saturday afternoon, I'm thinking. And, of course, Mark Martin was racing or, you know, some of those guys, you know, with it back in that day. And I'm into all that. And I'd got to know Mark Martin in his beginning days. And so a little bit of history there for me and with it. And let me tell you, so I don't eat them very often anymore, but I love chocolate-covered cherries. There's only one chocolate I like better. It's a kind of an orange. It has an orange taste to it, and it's real hard to find. But anyway, And so I'm there, and I've got this sack of chocolate-covered cherries, and I'm watching TV, and Dawn's crawling around there, and I'm supposed to be watching her. And all of a sudden, I hear Susan pull into our drive, and a car door shut. And I thought, oh, my God, where's Dawn? I hadn't seen her, you know. And I'm looking, where is she at? And I find her over in the corner with that sack of chocolate-covered cherries all over her. I mean, from her head to her feet. I mean, she was sucking the chocolate off of them. And let me tell you what I did, men. I did what great men do. I bit the bullet. I fell on the sword. I met Susan at the door, and I said, I have messed up. Because I knew I couldn't get her washed up in time that Susan came through the door. And I said, I'll get the groceries. You clean your daughter up. I'm talking about, I'm just telling you, she looked like my other daughter here. She had chocolate from the top. Listen, we learn from our experiences. We do these things to raise up and empower great people. I've got two more very quickly. The proper stewardship of this ministry. I want you to know I'm so honored with your sacrificial giving. I want you to know that Susan and I try our best. And be truthful, when the money didn't come in for the baptistry, we put it on our personal credit card, you know, with that. And we're planning on paying it off in 2 months. We're not going to pay a bunch of interest. We put it on a card that had a decent interest. We did that. But I so felt that God had said, get that baptistry and get it in here. And I was amazed. The guy, when I ordered it, the guy said, I hope I can have it there by Friday. It was here Monday, I think it was, Monday. And amazing, you know, how quick they got it out to us. But I'm just telling you, because we believe, but we do here. We steward your money well. We're not out buying things right now. We got somebody going to look. The copy machine is giving error messages, and we don't know whether it's fixable or too expensive, where we're going to have to buy one. But we're going to have someone look at it first and let us know what it's going to take to fix it, because we're not going to jump out and spend. And that's part. We want to steward this ministry well, but we want to help you steward what you're doing well. And we want to teach you principles. Let me just share with you. Some of you don't believe what I'm about to say. Debt-free living is possible. Debt-free living is possible. But can I share something with you? You have to plan for it. You have to sacrifice for it. You have to make plans to get there. It doesn't just fall out of the sky. Amen? But God can bring you to that place. My last point. To glorify God through all actions that we do here at City Gate. Today, when we commission Sylvia, I hope you walk away and say, man, did they lift Jesus up? You know, I believe in giving honor to whom honor due. This has been a faithful woman of God in this house. She has served well. We're very proud. And I told her a while ago, I said, we're connected for life. Amen. I believe that. I don't believe that. I know that. And so it's important. Tim, you and I are connected for life with that. You know, I'm not, you know, he's here visiting from Ohio. But we know, I mean, when we first began to talk on the phone, there was a connection. We know that. We know that. And it's important. Now, can I tell you what? To keep that connection healthy, him and I are going to have to reciprocate. If I get busy and don't call him, he needs to call me. Or if he gets busy and doesn't call me, I need to call him. That's how you build relationship. That's how that you do the things that you're supposed to. So it's important that we understand that we glorify God. I hope today when we have water baptism that we glorify God. I want to tell you, it's important that we move into these things, and it's important that we understand the fullness. Now, let me look for one other thing that I want to say, and then we're going to move on. Let me give you just a few things how you can glorify God as a shareholder, okay? Number one, learn our values. How many of you know what's at the core is really you? Amen? We don't want it to be a learned behavior. I haven't done this in a few weeks. Do this. Put your hands together. Clap your hand together. Put them together like this, okay? Now, reverse them. Do them the exact opposite. I would love this when I tell you. Tim's up here trying to figure out how to do it. Does that feel as awkward to you as it does to me? Can I tell you? That's just simply alarm behavior. It has nothing to do with your left-handed or right-handed. All to do, you begin to do it in your mother's womb. Amen? And you've learned that, so it's become very natural. I don't know what you, which thumb is over. Your left thumb is over your right thumb or right thumb? Okay, so your left thumb is over your right thumb. My right thumb is over my left thumb. I'm actually left-handed. Amen? It's a long story behind that that I won't go into. But and so that's a learned behavior. Do you know that a lot of things that we do in church is just simply learned behaviors? It's not anything to do with the kingdom, not anything to do with God. They're just things that we've learned to do. And so God wants to, I really believe that God is seeking to move us out of some of our learned behaviors. But we need to learn these core values here. Learn the values. Number two, we need to live out and speak the values. See, some of you, I mean, all of the shareholders need to be able to share that vision as well as I can share that vision. If somebody says to you on the street or at your workplace how many of you went to the football game yesterday? With that? How many of you cheered for the Tigers and how many have cheered for Mississippi? With that? Well, I'll get a fight going here, all right? With that. Listen, the Tigers played some ball yesterday. I didn't get to watch it, but I heard the score. But what I'm trying to tell you, and then you need to speak. When you're there at that ball game, you can speak out the vision. You need to be able to tell them, we enjoy God at all times by celebrating who we are, by knowing who He is. Well, what does that mean? Explain it. Man, when I'm on the golf course, I'm enjoying God. When I'm eating a good meal with friends, I'm enjoying God. When I'm in my prayer closet or my war room, I'm enjoying God. I put a picture recently of me on my Harley and I put it on there, my mobile war room. Amen? Listen, I have some great times. Sid and I rode around the whole mountain. I mean, it took us about, 4 hours, I think it was. 3.5, 4 hours of Mount Magazine here a while back when we was in Arkansas on our motorcycles. And I prayed in the Holy Ghost the whole way. That was my war room that day. I don't know, where do you get along with God? Where, is it your car on the way to work? Where is it at? You know, with that, it's important to understand that. I'll give you about two more. How about this one? Compare words and actions daily to these values. Remember this. You can teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. You can teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And my last one, we glorify God through the actions of Citygate. We must practice these values together. Amen? Years ago, I had an elder in another church. We were having a church picnic, and he told a joke. And it was absolutely ungodly. And I disciplined him. And he did what immature brats do, because that's what he was. I was ashamed I even allowed him to function for a period of time as an elder. He shut his church down and came and joined us and been a pastor. But he left the church and tried to pull everybody he could with him. But he said to me, I don't think that joke was out of line. I said, you don't get to decide that. I do. Because you joined the team that I lead. And there's a core value. Don't be afraid to tell people when they step across the line. I remember John Osteen, Joe Osteen's dad, a story that I heard him tell years ago. He said he went in to buy a new car. And just about the time they sent him back in the cubicle to be with the salesman's on the phone, and he started taking God's name in vain. And he just, using vulgarity and taking God's name in vain. And he just went on for about 3 minutes. He got off the phone and stood up and introduced himself John Osteen, and John Osteen said, I just threw both hands in the air and took about 10 minutes and glorified God. Amen. He said, thank you, Jesus. You're my king. He said, when I got through that, Selma said, what are you doing? He said, you're glorifying your God. I thought I'd glorify mine. I want to tell you something. We've got to take this thing back. It's got to be in actions more than words. It's got to be us standing up. We got to be willing to correct people. You know, I told Susan, I'm amazed at how, I'm amazed how the left-wing liberals, how do they see it like they do? I mean, I don't know about you. I can't see it like they do. And my wife gave me the answer this morning, the wise woman that she is. She said, it's because our heart is centered on God and God's will and the kingdom coming and earth, and heaven touching earth, where theirs is not on that. You know, I'm just telling you, you can't take and do some of the things they're predicting. I don't know if you listen. I'm not going there with that. I'm just telling you, we need to pray. We're at a real pivotal point. And the total answer is not what goes on in Washington, D.C. The answer is what goes on in here, in Victory Fellowship or whatever congregation with that. That's where the answer's at that's going to change this nation. And we need that today. So I close in saying this. Shareholders, we value you. If you are coming here and you've never been commissioned as a shareholder and you desire to be a shareholder, I want you to just take a few moments and pray and let it settle in your heart, because that's what we're going to do in just a moment. We're going to bring those that desire to be shareholders.